Welcome to episode 5 of the Bogey Boys podcast.
Still no intro music?
Nope. Working on it. We'll introduce our sponsor this week.
Woo!
I know. We've got a sponsor, 5 in. Didn't even think we'd make more than 2 episodes, but...
Yeah.
Our sponsor is React Collection. It's a luxury menswear and womenswear brand with a range of t-shirts, hoodies, tracksuits and headwear. You can visit their website at www.react-collection.com. You can also follow them on their Instagram page at React Collection. And for all our loyal fans, we've got you a 10% discount at checkout. You use BB10 as the code. You'll get 10% off all merchandise.
Sound, I don't know. It just sounds boss, doesn't it?
It does.
But I've had a look at the clothing. It's great. It's boss.
It is really good, yeah.
I've actually got a belter picture to put up on the Instagram of the hats that you ordered with our logo on.
Oh, wow.
And then we can say, thank God we've got a sponsor.
I know.
And then show the hats.
A bit of background on that one.
Yeah.
I wanted me, because we take a few snippets and a few videos, I wanted me and Kevin to have a Bogey Boys hat, and then they turned up and oh my god.
It says Rowey Boys on the back for start.
The V doesn't even complete, does it?
Yeah. Best £45 ever spent, that.
I know, honestly.
By you.
You're only £25.
Yeah, I'll go sort you out. So we're going to start with reviewing the Tour Championship. So, first of all, before we get into any golf, 15 million DJ won.
15
million. What would you do with 15 million if you won it? Playing golf.
Oh my God. New set of clubs.
Oh my God, how mad. What a nutter.
No, do you know what? I'd buy a motorhome.
I'd be dead.
You would be dead.
I'd be dead.
Yeah. I'm sensible though, I'm not like you.
Honestly, I would just go Ronaldo. I'd just be everywhere doing everything.
No, what I'd buy a motorhome and I would travel around and play all the best courses in Europe to begin with. And then I would go to America and I'd do Route 66 and play all the best courses across Route 66. And yeah, I'd probably change that.
I'd probably stay alive for that.
Yeah.
I might do that, but yeah.
And then you'd stop at Vegas and that's where it all ends.
You'd probably have about 14,600,000 left after that and the rest.
I'd do it again then.
Yeah, it's just life.
What about you?
Nah, I'd obviously buy a house and settle down with my girlfriend and fall in love and all that.
What's happened? Yeah.
That one's for you, babe. If you're listening.
Which she's not.
Yeah, which she's not. No, she does get a lit. She does listen, but she just leaves it on and waits. You funny, aren't you, babe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're laughing. But you're just life changing money, isn't it? You'll be working again anyway, wouldn't you?
Definitely not. But you do hear these stories about people who you think, like, are then like millions and millions and millions of pounds over here, and you hear stories about them going bankrupt.
It's it's lifestyle, isn't it?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's lifestyle. If your lifestyle is £1 million a year, you've only got 15 years to live.
Would your lifestyle change for 15 million, do you think, or do you think it'd still be the same?
I mean, it would have a bit of a glow up.
Yeah, it would.
But,
it?
Like, obviously, what's wrong with you? Flights to Turkey. But you'd have a little bit of a spend, and then if you get used comfortable with a few things, and then money attracts money, doesn't it? So you can invest and do different things. But
yeah,
I'd be smart with it.
You wouldn't.
But anyway, we haven't got it. So back to the Tour Championship. Oh no! In fact, actually, why don't we review? We usually start with our golf, don't we?
Yeah, we done that on Monday though, didn't we, with Dave? So let's not talk about our golf.
It's a new day, and we played today. So what happened?
We did. We went out for 7 holes.
We meant to play 9.
And you give me an arse whooping, didn't you?
I was 3 up with 3 to play, just playing 9, and then won the 7th.
In my defence, though, the only holes that you won was when I pulled either the driver or the 3 woods off the tee. When there was an iron off the tee, I was competitive.
Yeah.
Although that, on the third...
You mean you finished the hole? But no, we had a little knock. We filmed it on the socials as well. I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing. We'll see. Going forward, we're going to get a bit of drone footage and all that, aren't we, on the golf course? So.
Yeah, we are, yeah. Definitely.
But anyway, moving forward into the old Tour Championship.
I know, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Quality.
Yeah. So,
it's better when it's faster as well, isn't it? Just 30 players out. But it's like match play sort of it. That's the end, wasn't it? The last 2 days.
I think you get more coverage as well, because you've only got 15 tee times, haven't you? 15
exactly.
Two balls, and that's the... it's just short snippets, and you get to see a lot more golf.
And then especially when it was like DJ and Ram on the Saturday, was it? It was all strange in my head, because it was started on the Friday, didn't it, and finished Monday.
Yeah, the Friday.
So the Saturday...
Well, the Friday, the first day, he lost his two-shot lead, didn't he? So yeah.
Ram, but they were going blow for blow that day. It was the Friday.
Just yeah. they were matching each other hole for hole.
20 footers, 30. Like,
yeah.
They were just...
I honestly thought it was going to be Rory coming up again, because obviously the first day, 125-footer putt he held.
Did he?
For a 64, 6 under. And then he caught it up. It was 4 back. It was only 4 behind. But then it was the Saturday for me. DJ was tied for the lead on the Saturday with Ram. He lost his 2-shot lead. Then you had Justin Thomas, who's 2 back, and Rory, who's 4 back. So, I mean, you wouldn't want any other players there, would you?
No, that's it. That's the target,
obviously. Yeah. But that top four is literally like, it's what you'd want to see in a competition as fierce as that.
Yeah. I'd also like to see Rooks Koepka there as well, to be honest.
Shit. When you watch the tournament on the Saturday, DJ hit a 70 level par, and then none of them capitalised on it. I mean, that's the opportunity.
It just shows you that it's not an easy golf course for talk to be capitalising. So the good scores are people who are playing solid. It's flukes and like that.
There was good scores out there. Do you know? Because on that Saturday, I think it was Xander Schauffele shot, I think 65-5 under,
yeah,
something like that. And that's obviously he got himself in position. And then obviously you go into the Sunday and Monday, and DJ just ran away with it. Really,
but it's not a free scoring golf course. Like obviously DJ was 21 under or something, but that's with his 10 shot handicap. The winning score was 15 under. Was it?
Xander Schauffele, he shot 15 under.
And his brother came second, didn't he?
Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. Yeah, so you take the shots away, the starting advantage. DJ actually finished third. He still has an amazing tournament, finishing third, 11 under. It's still an amazing run for him. You've got.
They should do it, or someone's probably done it as well. Where you run the tournament. Obviously, Schauffele would have won. DJ wins with his advantage, but then would there have been as tight if you used the point system? Not the scoring system. Would DJ have already ran away with it? Or?
I think for a third place finish, there was no way anyone was catching his points.
Like, could he have finished the way, like, it was, what was Ram in? Who came second in the end?
Scotty Scheffler, 12 under, yeah.
So it would be interesting to see the old way and the new way. Do you know where they show?
Compare and contrast.
Just to see, like, because, you know, I don't really like that.
I was thinking the that, 10 yeah, shot thing, just let like it be. Just
okay,
let it go.
It's changed that, like.
There was a big gap financially from first and second, which is what you'd expect.
10 million, isn't it?
Yeah, so Xander Schauffele and JT split second and third, prize money $4.5 million each. John Rahm finished fourth, he picked up $3 million. The rookie, who's had an amazing season, Scotty Scheffler, he finished fifth in the Tour Championships, $2.5 million, and the USPGA champion, Morikawa, he picked up $1.9 million. So I think those two players, you're going to see a lot more of them over the years. Okay.
Well, you're obviously not going to see Morikawa win again when the crowds come back.
Very good tournament. Special mention to Mark Leishman as well. After his 30 over at the BMW, he started with an opening round 66. Nice. And he put himself 5 under. That's about as good as it got for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he finished with
It gets good for him when he gets home and gets onto the putting green. That's about it.
But he finished 29th. So obviously he's better than last week. He finished dead last week. He finished 29th out of 30.
Yeah.
But he still walked away with just under $500,000.
Doesn't it? You get your dream out of it with your Route 66 and your new golf clubs
and
your motorhome.
And he'll get a ton of grass seed. But yeah, all in all, it was a good tournament.
It's just that it feels like it should be like a season wrap-up now. And that's, obviously, we're not like season podcasters, but like this should be like the end of the season. But really, it's
bit
like,
of a break.
So exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, like if we're just getting started on the podcast, now, I mean, this is our fifth episode. But if you're a seasoned pro and one of the podcasters who's covered the whole season, you'd be thinking Tour Championship, have a bit of a break.
That's it, yeah.
You know, go and play golf, do your thing. The season starts again this week.
And you've got two more majors coming up.
Yeah, you've got 6 majors this season, yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable, two really. Years it as a two masters. And like, it is unbelievable for us, really, because we get to sort of chat shit about them.
That's it, yeah. have plenty more fact checks to come.
Yeah,
definitely.
Plenty more.
Yeah, but you've got 50 tournaments this season. That's the most since 1975, that.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, 50 tournaments in the schedule this season. It includes six majors.
Hopefully we'll see more of Woodsy then, don't we?
Yeah, well, Woodsy's not playing this week, the Safeway. That's the first tournament. That's the first FedEx opener as well. And we'll talk more about that later in the episode when we review this week's tournament. He's going to be playing the US Open. No, talk about the Safeway, none of the top 30 are playing this week.
I don't think you wouldn't though, would you?
No.
With a major coming up?
Yeah.
Like, and you've just played back-to-back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of golf.
It's nothing to them, that Safeway.
Yeah. So our birdie bogey bust this week.
We're going to have to get a little birdie bogey bust. So we need a few sound effects, don't we?
We do.
I think, do podcasts have sound effects or...?
I've not really listened to podcasts.
No. I have to.
I haven't listened to any of ours. Are they good?
Shite. I want some sound effects. I'm going to get some.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Is that when you get the intro music?
Yeah, intro music, sound effects. I want a little back check. Or like if someone has a bad round, bogey boys. So he joins us as a bogey.
I'm liking it a lot. Yeah, definitely.
So birdie bogey bust. Who are you going for? What are you going for with the birdie?
It's just DJ, it's got to be. Just capping off an unbelievable few weeks with his tour championship win. But he gave us a little shoot on McGavin when he chipped in, didn't he?
Yeah.
Followed it in with his two fingers.
Like that. Yeah. I wish he'd give it a Happy Gilmore. We go to the camera. You like that, baby? There's plenty more where that came from. Yeah. That would have done it for me. I'm never satisfied, am I?
No, you're never satisfied. You're a hard man to please. Unless you're beating me on golf, that's
the entire time. Yeah, I'm very happy.
I know. Are we going to talk about that third hole today?
Oh, when you didn't reach the fairway with your four iron.
I know. And you hit a driver.
And I hit a road 380.
Yeah. So I hit a four iron, five iron, 10 yards in front of Kev's driver.
then I was happy.
That would have been a bust. That's a bust for me.
That's the birdie.
It's the birdie view, it's a bust for me. Since, I mean, I don't know if you remember Brooks Koepka giving a bit of an eerie about 6 weeks ago, and that seemed, I don't know if that's the
most. I don't listen to anything negative, like if you're saying something negative about Brooks, I don't listen.
Brooks Koepka, about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, something, was giving a bit of chat to DJ, trying to rile him up, a bit of competition, which is what we like.
Love it.
DJ just seemed to turn it on, and he's won just under 20 million since then.
Yeah, but have you seen that picture when he's looking into the FedEx trophy and you can just see Koepka with his two US Open trophies? That's great. I posted it on the socials.
You did. But you're having that as the birdie?
Yeah.
It's got to be, hasn't it?
We give him a bust of the week for not breaking records, do you know what I mean?
So,
obviously, because we know he's listening.
His time has come.
There you go, DJ.
Yeah, that's all yours, DJ.
Now, quality. Unbelievable. Consistency, just everything about it. Not just like ripping it apart, there was up and downs, he's polling putts, he's bombing drive, he's just everything.
Chipped in.
It's just unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, if you look at some of his yardages throughout that tournament, he hit a 7-iron, 220 yards. And just to put that into perspective, on the second today, I absolutely nutted me 7-iron, 170. And I couldn't have hit
Down
it better. Downwind. That's 50 yards. 50 yards he's got on me there. He hit a 5-iron, 242. That's out driving me with my driver.
That's a joke, though.
And then he's hit a 2-iron. No, far he had 1-2-iron. 322 yards.
Shut.
I don't think I've ever hit it that far. I don't think I've ever hit a golf ball that far.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I have, like. It's funny, if people listen to this and they don't actually know, they're going to think I'm a proper bomber. I'm not a monster.
You're not a monster, definitely.
Well, just, you know what I mean?
You talk a good
talk game. Talk the talk, just don't walk the walk.
Of course you do.
Well, go on then, the bogey, what are you having?
It has to be the collective bad rounds from the top four challenges.
Because you've got to remember, the humans as well, they feel the pressure, they know what's at stake.
I know.
DJ probably didn't even know what
was
at stake.
But for all of them to do it.
I know.
So you've got DJ shot at 70, and then none of the challengers beat him. So you've had JT and Rory shot 71s and Ram shot at 74.
It was tough out there.
But you know, I did say, and I'll take this one, 15 was going to play its part.
Yeah.
And on that day, Ram hummed on into the water and made a 5, and then he bogeyed the next. So I think for those three shots there,
he catches, he would have gained a little bit of ground.
Yeah, and yeah. He parred the last as well.
Playing it, it's parred. If you look at that angle from the tee, it's the most daunting shot ever.
You've got 50 balls there. How many are you hitting to the green? 220 yards, is it?
Well, for one, you're hitting rescue.
Yeah.
You're hitting driver.
I'm having to nut a driver to get on the front edge.
In reality, like, I phoned you all off the Blues, there's a par 3 and it's 230 yards and like it's downhill a touch. So you're hitting a big rescue or
it's
whatever.
13 yards from the back.
And the fellas that, like, I was playing with some of the Albons, they're hitting like a driver and they're not making it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's over water.
I know. Well, the thing that you've got to put into play as well is the wind where we play. Because I know on the first at S&A, it's a 204 yard par 3. And have it driver off that.
Yeah, have it driver. And you can hit Wednesday some days. Yeah. It's blowing the other way.
Well, you might be able to. I'm certainly never to wedge off it.
But you know what I mean? The contrast is massive.
It is, yeah. I do get what you're saying. But that second day on the Saturday, there was an opportunity there for us to... Because you knew DJ was going to turn it on. Because the way he's been playing at the moment, he wasn't going to put two bad rounds together, let's be honest. And even par's not a terrible round.
No.
He's still...
That's what I dream of. Shooting even par.
But that was an opportunity missed, I felt. The people who did catch up, like the Xander Shoffleys, they were too far back for that to have a real dent. Did get a bit excited on the Monday.
Didn't lose any ground, though, did he? He just stayed where he was.
But that was that's what I'm saying. On the second day, there was an opportunity for him to lose ground, and that's why the meatball.
Yeah, but he didn't lose ground. He just stayed where he was. They had to gain.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And because they never.
So if he shot over par and they all shot over par, then it's like everyone shot over par. But he's shot level and stayed his ground, and no one come and called him.
Yeah.
And apart from like Shoffley, we were too far away. Yeah. Look at Dan the bogey.
Because I think because even look at Rory's shot into 18, second shot, topped into the water.
Oh my daisy chain! I thought that was a meme or something. Yeah, someone made that up.
A meme.
Meme. Whatever they are.
Statement. A meme.
I actually say meme, though. I don't know why I've just said meme. Yeah, it's gone. So, right, that's the bogey. Then what are you going for the bust? You haven't got one, have you?
I've been thinking about it, and this week, there's nothing that's really... I mean, you can use things like...
Rory's
top into the 18th, but no, for me, no. I was struggling to find one.
Do you know what I'm going to go for?
What?
And it's probably like everyone else's birdie. That there's just loads and loads and loads of golf coming up. The busiest season since 1975. And we've started the podcast. I thought we were going to have a bit of chill time, man.
We're only five in.
That's what I mean.
Shows how hard you
I was thinking, mate, if we do this, so I've got a little week off, chill out. Do you know what I mean?
Try and get a break somewhere. Well, there's
don't have to. It's more. I do the podcast. It's more seeing you.
You want a break from me, yeah? Kev, where are you? I won't be playing golf with you anytime soon. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Like, we just keep that as the bust, innit?
Yeah, definitely.
We're moving on to the order of merit. So, what you done last week with the order of merit, where you knocked five and all that sort of stuff?
Confused
the life out of it. I was just hoping to see like a table that you might have constructed.
Yeah, well, I've constructed the table. We're going to post that on the socials.
Everyone dying to see it.
Are they? Yeah. Well, the anticipation. It's killer. I don't think you want to see it after the performance you had this week. The points are given to the players who finish in the top five this week. If you pick DJ, you would have got 10 points instead of the normal 25 points because he had the advantage.
Yeah.
So because he won, then that's easy enough. He won, we agreed, 10 points. So DJ's pick gets you 10 points towards the order of merit. JT and Xander Shoffley, they finished tied second. So that completes your top three. So we said for top three, you will take 2 points off what they would have scored if they would have won. So if JT would have won, we agreed to give him 14 points. But because he never won, we'll take 2 points off that and you get 12 points.
Right.
You with me?
Half.
Okay. So he started the tournament third at 7 under, and what we agreed was
he
would get 14 points if he wins. Okay. He was the most popular pick this week. We had 7 people who picked him, me included. So I got myself 12 points for him. Well done, mate.
Nice.
Xander Shoffley, on the other hand, he finished in a tie for second, but he started the tournament -3 in 14th position. So we were given 25 points for a win if he chose him. So for his top three finish, you just take two off that. So you got 23 points, and we had three people we picked in this week.
And Dark Heeran probably picked him.
Yeah.
He calls him the showstopper, doesn't he?
The showstopper.
The showstopper.
Did you have his record? 42 under par since 2017. I think his closest competitor is JT, who's Justin Thomas, who's 23 or something.
He came on, since I heard of him, every time you look around he's there.
In fact, he's getting the bust.
Yeah.
For being so far behind, knowing if he turns up into that tournament at least five back, he's going to win it.
Yeah.
He's giving himself too much to do.
Bust for you.
Bust for you, Xander.
Take that.
Yeah.
Take that.
Wing it like Kev, there.
You, well done. I'd like to see him in a bit. I'm rubbing off on you.
Yes, and then the top five for the final points was awarded to John Rahm and Scotty Scheffler. So nobody picked Scotty Scheffler. He started in 17th, and we agreed that a top five finish should remove 5 points from it. So Scotty Scheffler would have scored you 25 points if you'd have picked him. He was the top scorer, but nobody had any faith in else, Scotty. And John Rahm, yeah, if you picked him, he would have only got you 12 points for the win, and you're taking five off that, so you only get 7 points early from Rahm. So, bittersweet pill to swallow.
You've won, Adam.
Yeah, so we only had one player that had him this week. Let's talk our picks.
We'll update the table and put that online.
Yeah, so we'll update the table, put it online, and you can see, everyone can see where they are. Joe, who was leading after the first
Joey tournament. The man?
Joey D, yeah. He's picked up some more.
He's loving it as well, isn't he?
Getting involved, yeah. It's good to see. We like that interaction.
A few people getting involved in the Perfect Golfer, like the way David popped in last week, giving us down the banks. And I didn't see him emailing any of his picks. Yeah.
Nobody's willing
it's
to
not like
the...
we're saying this is bang on how you do things.
Yeah.
We're just winging it.
Yeah.
We're not experts. Slagging us up behind our back.
No, yes, yeah. What you should have done is done this, this, and this.
And it doesn't count for Tiger.
Give us a break, mate. Yeah, you've had a shocker, Kev.
Oh.
You have. You picked Joachim Niemann. Sorry.
Joachim.
27th. You finished. You should have done.
Oh, do you know why I picked him?
Yeah, you told us last week.
Well, there you go.
So who's faulted then?
I blame Keaton's wife.
Okay. That's what I thought you were getting at. And you picked Hideki.
Well, I stuck with him and he's gone now. You'll never hear his name come out again. He's on
that
me.
Was his last chance.
He's on my hate list with everyone else.
So when we speak about him, I hate him. Why do you hate him? He just cost me points in the fantasy.
Yeah.
You got no points. Nil point.
Brilliant.
Nil point. I'm happy. Me, on the other hand.
Oh.
Points, JT. As we spoke about before, he gave me a tasty 12 points for a second place finish. And Big Bryson didn't really do much. He hasn't been doing much for a while now.
You literally started off like you had a stormer and you got 12 points.
But that's 12 points now more than you. Since we've restarted the order of merit, I am now 12 points.
You're in my mind and you know that I am still 28 points ahead. And I will not let that go.
Until I get that 40 point advantage, I'm stuck, aren't I?
Yeah.
We'll sort something out.
Well, no, but it's good that a good few people on the socials are like getting involved and messaging. I'm getting texts.
Yeah. Well, it's good to hear, do you know what I mean? We want people to get involved. We like that interaction. Anybody who messages on the socials, private messages, comments, we'll always
like people even messaging like, got a lot to do this week, I'm going for a sneak attack with this and
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I'm picking someone on the outside. It's like it's good.
Yeah. No,
but
like
we decided, didn't we, that we're gonna do a Bogey Boys golf day.
Yeah.
At either Formbuil or Southport and Ainsdale. Probably Formbuil.
I think we're going to do social. Yeah, it's difficult at the minute. We don't know what. It's probably not.
With the new lockdown, we've gone down to six people. Yeah. We'll see if we can try and squeeze a little one in.
Yeah, so the idea is we're going to do a golf day. We've got a couple of
famous people.
Famous people, yeah.
More famous than us.
So, yeah, we're doing a bit of a. Bit of a formal
like a charity day, really.
Yeah.
A few prizes getting given out, a raffle all goes to charity.
Yeah.
Promotion.
Yeah, we've got
different things.
Now when the golf day goes ahead.
Yeah, whoever wins will get free pass for you and a friend, I think.
Yeah, free pass for you and a friend to attend the golf day, get involved and
So you basically get a game of golf and a meal.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Kev's going to buy you a pint.
I'm going to have to buy this.
Kev's the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got a good few people getting involved, and as I say, the more episodes we do, the more popular.
Hopefully, I was looking at the analytics on the Anchor podcast, though, and like we've got listeners in like Nigeria, Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Shout out to our Bosnian, yeah, like Bosnian fans.
Texas, Virginia, California. Like, we're going to have to fly them in.
I never thought about that.
Like, what?
Might get some cheap flights, don't
we? Well, 100% of our listeners are from Earth, which I'm devastated about. Why does it show you that? I'm going to post these on the social, the analytics you can see. You can see what planet people are listening from.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this listener's coming in from Mars.
I can't wait till we get our first alien listener. Oh, well, brilliant.
Perfect golfer
it's
time.
It's that time again.
Perfect golfer time. It's putting time. Off the tee, we've worked that out. Off the fairway, rough approach of the green, we've worked that out. Green side, Arjun Atwell, number one ranked scrambler from the rough.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you're first this week, picking this. You've got the Shambo as your chipper.
You want me to go first? Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine. So,
well, I've went back to heart again.
You see, I've changed it. I'm not going to do statistics this week.
No, nice.
Because what I think with putting, you've got different styles of grip, you've got different people put with the stance open, stance closed, wide feet, people, just
well, it's mad the way, like,
the
person who's won the most majors, Jack got Nichols. A weird putting stance,
Jack Nicholls, name
Jack Nicholls. If you listen to this podcast and you don't know who's won the most majors, then I'm sorry, we're turning your podcast off.
Yeah. You're not welcome on this show. Yeah, so you're right, Jack Nicholls.
He's got an open, like, jerky.
I've always said this to people playing, because, as I say, I'm an unbelievable putter. The rest of the game is horrendous.
This and
is
I can hold him. Yeah. That first putt and then hold another.
It's
one.
The only reason you won, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think with putting, there's so many different elements to it, and I just don't feel those statistics are the right thing to do. For my perfect golfer, I just think when it comes to putting, it's more what have people done in the history of putting which makes them suitable to,
like time and a moment.
So when the pressure's on, there's unbelievable pressure. How do they stand with that? Because you can have people who could be shooting, I don't know, 74s, 75s and being horrendous all round, but taking 25 putts, do you know what I mean? Having one putt, getting up and down.
And then the stats are massive, but it's not that good.
Yeah, so for me,
David's got in your head, hasn't he now?
Yeah,
he's got in. You've been thinking that. Is
no, no, it really is. Statistically, when you talk about people hitting it off the driver, you want to be somebody who's going to put you in position a good distance
down there.
So that's why I went for Doc Redman from the fairway. You want someone.
Sorry, go on.
Arjun Atwell, so I'll say
to you.
I'm going to talk us through now three of the most important clutch putts of all time from my memory. The first two, he didn't get me picked, but I think it's important to mention these because this is just obviously given a flow of what my thought process and what I'm thinking. So for me, one putt that sticks out in my memory is Phil Mickelson's first major win on the 18th at Augusta on the final day Sunday in 2004. I mean, it takes stones not to three putt that when you've got that title as the best golfer never to win a major. You've got a one putt on 18 to win your first major at the Masters, and
that's what you stand there on the putting green as a kid thinking, this is for the Masters.
Yeah,
this is for the US Open. Should we try again?
We've all been there. Yeah,
like, doing the mains. It's what you live your life to do.
Yeah,
and obviously, it's a lot harder when you've got a few crowds and a bit of pressure and all that. But,
and you know, it's 20-foot putt as well. And you know, Augusta Greens are pronounced for being...
Well, I do know them, yeah, because I have been there.
You have, yeah. I know. It's on my bucket list, but you actually got to go, didn't you? Yeah. When was that?
That was 2018.
And you had a certain somebody give you a high five, wasn't it?
Yeah, Tyler gave me a high five. But it's been the biggest regret in my life, you know, because Patrick Reed won.
Oh,
and then the year after Tiger won. Oh. That's the bust.
That's the bust of your life.
That is the bust of my life, man.
So, Phil finished runner-up in three majors, and he'd finished third five times.
Oof.
So he started the Sunday tied for the lead but he'd lost the lead to Ernie Els, and as you know, back in 2004, Ernie Els was one of the big players in the game, so he's not someone that you want to be chasing. I think three of his last four holes he birdied, and then he steps up, three of the last five holes he birdied, so he stepped up on 18 and gives himself a 20-foot putt. And just, do you remember it? Like, he jumps up with his hands and his feet. And it was his first. It's just one of them things that just stick in your memory. And I was only a kid at the time. Obviously, 2004, what would that have been? Like, 14, 15. It was the time when Tiger had done what he'd done in 2000, 2001.
Yeah.
And that's obviously when golf spiked. And Phil was a top competitor to Tiger, and he always backwards and forwards and things. And that just stuck in my head. So, obviously, he's not my pick, but I just think it's worth mentioning Phil for that specific putt and what he's done, and that's the type of thing I'm going for. The other putter, and you're not going to like this, Ian Poulter.
Oh, come on.
Come on.
He is the postman, though, in the Ryder Cup.
The miracle in Medina, remember it?
Yeah.
Remember it? So, back in 2012 Ryder Cup, there was two games left. It was 10-4 to the USA. Poulter playing with Rory, and it was to reduce the deficit to 10-6. Now, we all know what happened after that in the singles. They went on to win it.
Yeah.
I've
got to be honest, though. In 2012, I wasn't playing golf. I gave up then. For a little stint. Lost my head. Hated it.
Yeah.
Bin me clubs. Just honestly was never playing golf again. And I didn't watch that Miracle at Medina until last year.
How good was it?
Unbelievable.
That was so good. I watched it.
I was jumping up and screaming at the telly.
Yeah.
Like, even though I was 8 years old.
I know. It was just one of them where you're watching it and you watch it unfold and you're thinking, no, this has happened. And just everything seemed to go our way. And then eventually, but this putt for me, the score was 10-5. Poulter birdied 14, 15, 16 and 17, all making clutch putts on that road. So they were one up going down 18. It's DJ and Duffner they're playing against. Duffner's stuck it in close, and Poulter's got about 15 foot up. Poulter's first to putt, and he just nuts it in, doesn't even give Duffner the putt. He would only have been able to half, and they were already one up.
Yeah.
And then obviously, remember, he just like give that like, massive ball
off.
He just went off his nuts. Yeah. Like, that was it. Just all.
But you can't doubt the man for passion and for what he does in the Ryder Cup, and he's obviously an amazing golfer.
Yeah.
And I've actually started following him on Instagram lately. And he does a few boss videos with his Ferraris and chipping through his watch and stuff, which is good and all that. But I just remember, the reason I don't like him, I've never seen how it went with, and he was just a knobhead to everyone.
Are you talking about, I think I remember the time you're talking about, we were all down working there, and understandably, he was before he teed off, and Tiger probably used to do the same thing. He avoided the crowd. He went the wrong way, didn't he?
This was on the Wednesday. I remember someone asked him something. He was like, "Oh, I play at Woburn, like blah blah." I remember, and he was like, "Oh," and then signed it like that, not even looking at him. And there was no one round.
Bit snobby.
It was just
We don't like that. Yeah,
so we just hate them from that moment.
We'll have him on here if he ever wants to come on.
We'll have him on. Yeah. like I said in episode one, and I'll say it to his face. Well, maybe on Zoom.
He's not going to come round to the apartment and sit here with us.
We're right here if you're listening.
But you're not. But yeah, so that for me, these are the type of, this is the road I'm going down with the
opponents. No,
because
get it, yeah.
In those situations.
It's all significant, you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. For me, yeah. It's at that time, the person who's going to hold that winning putt for me, there's no man I'd trust more with the magic stick than Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
He's got it.
No, yeah.
He's got to hold my magic stick.
No, has he now?
He has. Tiger Woods.
In his heyday, he probably would have dabbled in everything, wouldn't he?
Do you know? Yeah. Back when Tiger was at his best.
Yeah.
There's so many putts that we could talk about. Mate. But there's one specific one that I'm going to talk about, which for me is the most significant. It was the 2008 US Open at Torrey Pines. Remember?
I know the putt. I watched it the other day.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
So
he nips in.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
It was, and then he just, yeah.
I mean, so, it goes like that, it's like that.
But do you remember on that tournament, obviously with his injuries and stuff, he was hitting shots and he was bending over and clutching, holding his back and everything. He was really struggling. And then it come Saturday evening, he's leading.
Yeah.
It was Rock Immediate, if I remember rightly, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rock Immediate, he took the lead and had a one-shot lead on Tiger coming down the last. And obviously he's on the 72nd hole. He must have been absolutely shattered with all his injuries, and he's put it in the rough. He somehow managed to hack it onto the green about 15 foot and is over the hump, and as you say, just lipped in and went in, and it was just, you think, we know now how bad the injuries are, because you just think, looking back at that now,
that was unreal.
That was his last major he'd won before
the Masters. Wasn't it Westwood as well? He was just ahead of Tiger, and he could have been the last to get in the playoff. And then he just, typical Lee Westwood, planted, makes a bogey, makes
fact
a
check.
Fact check, yeah. But he done something typical that obviously we're not talking about, Marvin. So, and then, but Tiger, just typical Tiger, boxes the putt on 18.
That's it. And then the next day, I think it might have been late, like, or something, 18, was it?
No, 18 old playoff it was.
Was it the 18? Yeah, that was it.
It's an 18 old playoff.
Oh, I bet your Tiger was gutted.
That's what I mean.
He'd have been knackered, yeah. Wouldn't he? Was it? Yeah, it was the 18-0 playoff.
Yeah. But do you know what else? Off subject, totally. Rock and Media owes me a coffee.
Does he? Okay. Come on, let's hear this one.
When the Open was at Birkdale,
yeah.
They were all staying at the phone, we all. And I was like, hey, Rock and Media, I told you. I was like, I'll get this coffee. Like, I was like, yeah. And then just.
You've never had one back?
No.
Okay. Rocco, if you're listening, you don't care about coffee.
Thanks.
Or a pint.
Yeah. Rather than a pint.
Nowadays,
yeah,
I bought him a coffee. It's probably cheaper, isn't it?
I bought him a coffee for me all, yeah.
Really? So that's my putter. So that completes my golfer.
Yeah.
I'm going for Doc Redman off the tee, Justin Thomas off the fairway, Bryson DeChambeau around the green, and Tiger Woods on the green.
Right.
You're not beating that. Go on.
So, without going through an absolute load of stats and reliving memories.
Even though I said no stats, I just went back and gave like a history of.
In terms of the stats, we went down memory lane. I'm just going to go straight up, go for Harold Swash.
What? What are you doing?
he's had 18 putts in a round.
Fact check. 18 putts in a round.
Yeah. And then he made his own. Putting,
yeah,
putter, yes,
yeah.
Putters.
The yes putters, yeah, I remember them, yeah. And then I have a few of them, yeah.
He's got Phil Kenyon's his prodigy.
Phil Kenyon coaches
all the European tour coaches.
Yeah, Phil Kenyon's Tommy's putting coaches.
Exactly, yeah. And he's a few of the other boys.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because I just remember they used to go, when it was a form, they all having a practice. You'd always see them in the room.
You'd see
Phil
a few,
Kenyon,
the Ken would always go, and you know, like Chris Wood had been down there, a few of the good European tour fellas.
Yeah, yeah.
So now he's got Tommy, he's obviously got Tommy as well, but he's.
Was Harold Swash a tour player?
I don't think so, no. Fact check, I don't know. I honestly don't even know who he is. So I just know that. Yes, putters used to be in West Lang's Pro Shop. And the fella behind the counter when he was trying to sell me one told me that the fella had 18 putts in a round once.
Had he?
Well, obviously.
If that guy at West Lang's told you, then it must be true.
Gary Edge.
There you go.
But yeah, so that's mine.
I'm a clear winner, yeah.
Can I have him or no?
You can. No. Yeah. No. Have you got another one? It's up to you.
Brad Faxton.
Can't even say his name, right? Faxton.
What's his name? Brad Faxton. Brad Faxton.
Again.
Because
I
know that he's
coach.
Got his own Scotty Cameron that you can buy. It's got this. Fact check. No, I've seen him on the European tour doing the Dream Golfer, because obviously they copied us.
Yeah, seen that, yeah.
And they had putter Brad Faxon. So I'm having that.
Oh, yeah. So you're copying off that. Yeah. Is that Jimenez's perfect
golfer? I obviously haven't done my research again.
Not again. That's okay.
I'm so fucking glad that this perfect golfer's over.
But it's not, though, because.
But I want people to actually give in their perfect golfer and see how we all line up.
Yeah, definitely. So we've completed that. Obviously,
so I've got.
Next week, I'm thinking to finish it before the US Open starts, because obviously we're going to review the Safeway after the tournament's finished. But I'm thinking next week when we do it, we talk temperament and golf
mindset.
So temperament, mindset, and the mental side of the game, because I think that's a good talk.
You could even do attributes, couldn't we?
Yeah. Well, we want to start for this season.
Like physical attributes, though.
Yeah. So what? Someone's legs, someone's arms. Or are you thinking just someone?
Yeah, I don't know. Just thought I'd wait to change it.
So let's do. Yeah, let's do.
We'll think about it.
Yeah, but they are, as a golfer as a whole, playing on the course, that's it complete. So it'd be interesting to get everyone's thoughts on it. We're going to do...
Do you know what I was thinking about then when I was saying attribute? All I was thinking about was Phil's calves.
How do you like them now? Ooh, Phil, Phil,
I always like Phil. I just don't like the way he went to the seniors though.
Well, he's playing this week at the Safeway.
Yeah, he's getting back in him. Yeah. Well, so we go, my perfect golfer is Big Brooksy off the tee.
Wallop.
Obviously, he's in the rough, so Big Bryson of the rough.
Wallop.
What's that fella's name again?
Arjun Answer.
Arjun, well, as we chipper.
Yeah.
Out the rough. And then Harold Swash, because he's had 18 putts in a row and he's the best putter in the world.
Oh, yeah.
So beat that.
Okay. Well, Doc Redman.
Oh.
Down the fairway.
Yeah.
JT, sticking it in close. Bryson DeChambeau, putting it wherever he wants on the green because Tiger Woods is just clutch.
Yours like sounds good and looks good and all that, but you know what I mean?
Just accept defeat.
Yeah.
I'm ahead in the order of merit, how things can change. My perfect golfer is actually perfect.
Yeah, you're like playing in a computer game when I beat you in real life.
It's gonna be even gonna get a win on you, isn't it? Yeah. 5.6.
Oof.
Knocks me sick.
Yeah. And decreasing.
And decreasing, yeah. Well, I'm not surprised. The standard scratch works. Yoga.
It's a hard goal, of course, mate.
It is hard, it is.
So we're going to do a little Player of the Year review.
Yeah, well, because the season's finished, we just thought it'd be a good chance for us to review who we feel is going to be the Player of the Year.
Who we feel?
Yeah, because the way it works is the 2021 season started the Safeway, as we've mentioned before. There's 50 tournaments coming up. So the 2020 season, as it normally would, the 2020 season always ends at the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
So there's two PGA Players of the Year. There's the PGA Player of the Year, which is a points-based system. That was just been awarded to Justin Thomas.
Oh.
So the way that works is it bases it...
How is it not DJ?
I'll explain now. So yeah. JT's had 3 wins, hasn't he?
Yeah.
But DJ's only recorded 2 wins, I believe. But it goes on because the win at the Tour Championship goes to Xander Schauffele because he scored the lowest round. So he'll get the points awarded for that. So even though DJ won that tournament,
he
won't be
points.
Awarded the points because he never had the lowest 72-hole score. So that's the way they work that one. So
obviously what's really hindering DJ is when he was 54 over for them 9 rounds.
Yeah, because that's it. It goes on number of wins.
23.
It goes on wins. It goes on wins, official money, standings, and scoring averages. So, yeah.
So, JT, well done.
Well done. He did come fifth. He got 42 points, so you're right. If he went 54 over and then 9 rounds, he'd have probably had a chance on the scoring averages, probably killed him. That has already been announced. The other PGA Player of the Year is the one voted by the members, so the players,
right.
And they get a vote and they decide. So there was a bit of controversy last year, wasn't there, with Rory McIlroy. So Rory McIlroy was voted Player of the Year last year ahead of Brooks Koepka because of his consistent play. But obviously Brooks Koepka won the USPGA and the WGC event at St Jude, and there was another one. He got 3 wins last year. So it's interesting because when you think about consistency of
play... Didn't he win US Open? Oh, he won the 2 before.
He won the 2 before,
I see. And then Woodland?
Woodland won the US Open last year, yeah. Last year, you would have thought Brooks is the standout. He's won a major, he's won a WGC event, he's won another event, and he's played really well. But
he was obviously world number one as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if the season finished at the Tour Championship, I don't know, but he was world number one entering the year. Is in this year, he was the actual year. If the season starts after the Tour Championship, then I don't know if he was world number one then, but he's got to be there or thereabouts.
Exactly, yeah. So there was a bit of controversy.
I didn't even know that happened. I'm furious.
I can hear the Tony voice going, "How's he not won that?"
Hello, is that the PGA?
Your members need to sort the shit out. So, yeah, obviously Rory won it on consistency. So it gives you the feel for how the players are going to be looking to vote, because if you look at DJ, obviously DJ's your favourite, isn't he? You think there's no way anyone can beat him, but Justin Thomas has had 3 wins. You look at Rory McIlroy's form pre-lockdown, that's still this season. I know JT's finished second in the Tour Championship FedEx. You know, so it's just it's how they look at it and whether. I mean, me personally.
And what do they do? Vote and they put it in a hat or something? I mean, just put the vote in like an election or what do they do?
Not a member, mate. No idea. No, I'm not privy to that information. I don't know.
I'm still fucking raging, to be honest.
You probably run for Brooks. If Brooks weren't injured, yeah.
I was not making fake ballot posts in regular elections. You could even make an argument that Morikawa wins it.
Well, this is it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can see you with it. Yeah, I don't like this.
You don't like it?
I just really like JT wins it, that's it.
JT?
Yeah.
What for?
Well, he's won the on the points and the.
So that's it from a consistency perspective, you think?
Well, like, well, that he's won as it goes, yeah. So he wins.
Yeah.
Like, the players play. Well,
the lowest score on average, they get a VAR. They got what's called the Vardon Trophy. Webb Simpson won that this year. He had a lowest score on average of the season of 69.978, so just under 70 as a score on average. JT, he's won the points-based system. He got 66 points. John Rahm comes second with 56 points. As you say, DJ came fifth on 42 points. So there was quite a difference in points from JT and Dustin because he's got 24 points. So from a consistency basis, JT's obviously had more of a consistent season.
Yeah.
And I think they've had the same one.
But he's not hitting no headlines, is he? Like, I know I've just given it to him, then that should be it, but...
This is what you've got to remember.
I don't think he draws a big buzz, JT. Even when he won a major and he's doing all these things, he doesn't draw a big buzz like DJ does, in my mind.
No. I think it's because...
Dustin Johnson's like, he's a more superstar quality, do you know what I mean?
Because he hits the bombs, though.
Yeah, that's it.
It is. It's because he hits the bombs and, like... I think the reason we're so DJ at the minute is because of that 30 under the way he just absolutely annihilated that golf course. He is the man at the minute, but me personally, I think he should win a DJ.
Yeah.
I
do. No, he will. He'll win it.
Do you think DJ will
win? Just with the consistency of them last three events as well, it's like...
Yeah, well, that's four events, one or two wins, world two number seconds, one. World number one, like, second place, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's just battered than any post-lockdown.
Yeah, he has, to be fair. No, I'm happy to give him. I'm happy to agree there. We're agreeing for once.
Yeah, got it, haven't you?
Yeah, I think...
Credit where credit's due.
Yeah. So it should be announced in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Or the next couple of days, I imagine. But yeah, Dustin Johnson to win the PGA Tour Player of the Year.
Yeah, that's it.
There's also a Rookie of the Year. They get awarded the Arnold Palmer Award, it's called.
Oh, yeah.
So there's 23 rookies on tour this year. But there's only really two stands out, and that's Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland.
What about Morikawa?
No, he's not a rookie because he played the season before.
Did he? Well, he's only been pro 16 months or something, hasn't he?
Well, that's more than a year, isn't it?
I know, yeah, but... But I'm pretty sure, wasn't he on the European Tour, though, for a bit? Something like that.
Yeah.
Fact check.
He was, because he won on the European Tour.
That's what I mean, so, like, rookie in life, or rookie on the PGA Tour season?
So, rookie on the PGA Tour, PGA Tour only, but, I mean, I don't really know why he's not on.
It must be just rookie in, like, pro, mustn't it? Your first pro season, must be.
Yeah, your first full season on tour.
After
if it's your first full season on tour, then I would agree, Colin Morikawa, but he's not on the list, he's not part of the 23. The only two that stood out for me on the list was Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland. But yeah, Scottie Scheffler, obviously, Scottie Scheffler finished fifth overall tour championship. So throughout this whole season, his first season on tour, over all of the tournaments, he was the fifth best player. Obviously, his world rankings don't show him as fifth best player in the world. But for his first season on tour, he's finished that, as well as a 59 at the Northern Trust. He's carded his best finish of third in 22 starts. He's made 17 cuts in those 22 starts, and he's had 6 top 10s. And that's in his first season.
Yeah, he's obviously destined for big things, isn't he?
Yeah, you just know he's going to be in and around with it. Yeah, he is. You've also got Victor Hovland. Now, Victor Hovland hasn't had as much as a consistent tournament as
Scotty,
but he's won, yeah. He won the Puerto Rico Open, yeah.
That's big, that, you know.
And he's also
winning in your rookie season.
And he made the top 30, he made the tour championships as well, he finished 20th.
Even winning in your rookie season, that tees up so many things, like winning in every season, like it makes a better role.
You get your exemptions and that, don't you?
Like yeah,
you do. No, and this is the argument.
I'd give the rookie of the season to Hovland.
Would you?
Yeah.
Well, he's had, in 19 starts, he's made 16 cuts. and he's had three top tens. So Scotty Scheffler wins the top tens, 3-6. Victor Hovland has made 16 cuts in 19 starts, whereas Scotty Scheffler's made 17 and 22. Scotty shot the 59.
Percentage-wise, then Victor's more, isn't he?
Yeah, Victor's more. Scotty shot that 59, and Victor's had a win. So, you know,
I'd go for
the win's
Victor.
Everything, isn't it?
For me.
The win's everything.
Do you think that?
Yeah.
I wonder how they are going to base it then.
It's a vote.
Could
it's
be someone completely different, couldn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that,
they're the standouts for us, but it could be someone like absolutely different that we don't even know of.
Yeah, when I looked at the 23, there's no one there.
No.
No. No, there's that, what's his name? Harry Higgs.
I honestly thought you were having a fit there.
Harry Higgs. I think his name is Harry Higgs. That's what I'll go for. But it's his first season on tour. And he made it into the playoffs. So he was playing in the playoffs. So he's had the consistent season. Mm. He was third or fourth in the lists of how he was doing. But it didn't compare to these two.
No.
So, again, it's an award that's given through votes from the players on tour.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be hard, isn't it?
It depends what you like.
I know.
It depends what who's in the field.
Well, Scheffler's American, isn't he? So it could be on the PGA Tour, isn't it? So.
What are you trying to say?
Bias, isn't
it? So you mentioned it before, the Safeway Open this week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a crazy few weeks to finish the 2020 season. This year we've got 50 tournaments, 6 majors, and finish with the Tour Championship, providing COVID doesn't put any spanners in the works.
Again.
So hopefully next season we should be able to get out and travel and watch a few of these.
I can't wait.
I know. It starts this week at the Safeway Open. It was won last year by Cameron Champ, and it's hosted by the Silverado Resort and Spa North Course. It's a 7,166-yard par 72. So when we talk about these 7,000-plus-yard courses, they're always par 70s. So I'm not thinking...
So there's a few more, like, par 5s or whatever.
Yeah, this isn't
usually
really
they change some of the big par 5s into par 4s, don't they? And yeah. Then and mess with the... to bring the par down. Yeah. Otherwise, they just butcher it, don't they?
Well, that's it, yeah. If you remember, it'll be a par 4. A par 5, but when the
tour put it to a par 4,
and change them like that, yeah. Hot favourite this week, in my opinion, is Brandon Steele. He won it here in 2016 and 17, and he's looking to be the first 3-time winner of the event.
Nice.
As we mentioned before, none of the top 30 who played at East Lake have made the trip.
As you wouldn't, though, would you?
Yeah, so you'd imagine the minds elsewhere. Yeah. But there's a couple of big players that have made the trip. Jordan Spieth. He's in the field.
Yeah, well, he's had a few weeks off, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's had a terrible season, really. Well, he's had a terrible few seasons.
Yeah, he's been a bit off the boil, hasn't he?
His last win was the 2017, let me get this right, Open Championship.
Yeah.
That was the last time he won.
Was it?
Yeah, that was the last time he won. And Phil Mickelson, he's teeing up, fresh from his victory on the PGA Tour Champions.
Yeah, they bobbed off to the seniors, didn't he? But he's back. Yeah.
But, yeah. I'm not getting nowhere in these playoffs. But there is one to watch this week. He's got a sponsor's invite.
I like the way you just put your finger up there, even though it's a podcast.
Oh, yeah, you might see it. Yeah. Forget where I am sometimes. Waffling on. Bryson Nimmer.
Oh, right.
Bryson Nimmer. He's on a sponsor's invite, and when I seen that, I was like, wonder what his background is and what he's done. He went to Clemson University, which is the same university that's produced players like Kyle Stanley, Jonathan Baird, and my man Doc Redman.
No way.
Yeah. So in college, he was a 4-time first-team All-American, and he holds 27 Clemson records on rounds, tournaments, seasons, careers. He's also ranked second in the all-time scoring average for his tournament player with 71.07. But he's only beat by Doc Redman, but Doc Redman only done 2 years there, not 4.
Yeah.
So it puts that into perspective a little bit.
So he's played the amateur this year then?
He's pro now, yeah. He's been playing on the PGA Tour Local IQ Series, which is a tournament that sits under these. And
like the web.com, is it? The one below that?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's just starting out, he's finished college, he's turning out on the different tours. You've got the Corn Ferry Tour as well, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's leading that order of merit, and second place is on less than half his points. In four starts, he's recorded two wins and two runner-ups.
So he can play then?
Yeah. You know, when you look at that profile, that CV, you're thinking, oh, hello. Hello.
This fella might get the job.
And his name's Bryson as well.
Yeah, oh, fucking hell.
Knocked the big guy off his perch.
Yeah.
So he's certainly one to watch and keep an eye on. I mean, I've personally never seen him play, but
I've personally never even heard of him. So I can't wait to fucking meet him next week.
So yeah, it's the first tournament of the 2021 season, and this is going to be the first one for the FedEx points. So this will be a good start to anyone who wins. They'll receive 500 points and cement the place as number one in the rankings. A long way to go before August next year when
it's
the tournament.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is indeed,
Mr. Bryson Nimmer.
But then, obviously, we've got the US Open at Wingfoot next week.
I can't wait for that, you know.
I know, US Open's going to be great, isn't it?
Sick.
Yeah. So, order of merit predictions for this week. We'll go back to the same pointing system as we've done. I said pointing again, didn't I?
Pointing.
Points system. So, yeah, 25 points for the win, and points will be deducted for missing the cut. If you pick someone who withdraws, minus 25, and so on and so forth. You know the rules now. Do you want to go first with your picks?
No, you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. So as I mentioned, Brandon Steele, a previous two-time winner here, and obviously knows the course very well. That's going to be my pick number one. I'll then go for Sergio Garcia. He's here this week. And for this, I haven't seen him play much, so I don't really know his form, but the only thing I'm thinking of, we know his capabilities, and he missed out on the whole playoffs this season. So I think watching those playoffs, he didn't even make the top 1-2-5.
Right.
He didn't even make the Northern Trust, so I'm thinking in his head he's surely got to be more motivated now to play well, and I'm thinking he needs to get off to a good start. He had all that time to go away to work on his game. I could be wrong, he could just be at the end of his career just thinking, you know what, I've done what I need to do, I've won a major.
No, but he'd be up for it,
and that's what I'm thinking.
But you're thinking it's a weird one, obviously they're in America, so if really the tournament, Sergio will be playing in Portugal this week. Usually, wouldn't he? Like, the European tour more.
Yeah,
because there's a US Open coming up, he's over in America. So, you don't think they want to be geared up towards it, do you know what I mean?
You talk about that. What do you think about Tommy's playing Portugal this week with the US Open next week?
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
I really don't understand that.
So, he's playing the... Is it the
Portugal? Well, obviously, he's married, he's got kids and all that, and
a family man, yeah. You get that. But and he's gonna play in the US Open. I haven't heard that he's not gonna play in the US Open. I just think how the travel's gonna affect them.
I wonder how if you go to Portugal, you have to quarantine. Like, don't they have to? Don't want to get too political. Like,
it's the golf podcast, mate. You know what I mean? for 2 hours.
But I was
before.
Thinking, it's weird.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting point. I'll have to look into it and see.
Just blew Tommy up there.
So we listen to the Bogey Boys podcast, Tom, and you'll have to quarantine, mate. You can't play in the US Open now. And then my final pick is Emilio Grillo.
Yeah.
It's just every time I seem to watch him lately, he's up there, he's there or thereabouts.
No, he is.
He's always, and I just think he doesn't win that often.
So has he ever won?
He has won. Won one.
Has he?
Fact check! The Al on the spot one.
Yeah, he's won.
So that's going to be my three picks, yeah. There's no real statistics to back them up, apart from Brandon Steele, two-time winner.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Sergio, got to prove a point, and Grillo. I just fancy him for the chance this week, so they're going to be my three picks. Who are you going for, Kev?
Right, I'm going for Big Phil.
Philly Mick, yeah.
Making his comeback, fresh off a win.
Be interesting to see how he plays, because he's
not in the top 30 there. I don't know where he's ranked, but world rankings.
Well, he just missed out on the top 70 that he missed the cut on purpose, remember, to win the tour.
Yeah, so you got off. And then I'm going to go for Joel Damian.
Well, he's this is his first tournament back for about, I think it's about 6-7 months off a back injury.
Yeah, when he did last play, come third.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can pick up a bit of that form that he had.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go for another South American, Jonathan Vegas, because he's always there and thereabouts. I always see him.
You do, yeah.
And I keep seeing him everywhere. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to pick him this week.
Was there no Kevins on the list?
There's no Kevins, no. Literally no Kevins. But Phil's more banking on the Phil Mickelson, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going for the win.
You're going for the win. Yeah. The W. Okay. So if he doesn't withdraw and go and play in the Tour Champions. Oh, yeah. See him later.
I'll fly out and see him.
Quarantine or no quarantine.
Yeah.
Put him on the hate list.
Well, yes, we've got a good few fact checks to go through there. A good few...
No, another interesting show, yeah. We as always... We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to check out React Collection.
Yeah. And our social as well. Follow us, Bogey Boys 2020.
Yeah, Bogey Boys 2020 and Bogey Boys Pod on the Twitter. If anyone wants to follow us on Twitter, get on there. We get, the more followers we get, the more active we'll be. Everyone wants to follow us.
We're just getting about 40 unfollowers now.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think we've got 40 followers to unfollow. So again, we'll be... on next week now. It's going to be a weekly occurrence. We hope you enjoyed the part one.
Well, we're going to be on, probably going to be on twice next week, actually.
Yeah.
We've got another professional golfer. I don't know if anyone or people tuned in last week and heard we talked to the PJ Pro at Fulham Bureau.
There's
we're going to get another golfing professional.
Yeah, so we're going to talk. We're going to do different parts, and we've got a couple of parts lined up. We're initially going to go for three parts, but we've spoken to a couple of different professionals who are interested. We've listened to the first
one who's an ex-tour pro, one who's an ex-low-level tour pro, different routes that they took, one who's now a caddy. Like, we're going to get a few different people on and speak to them and
just see
different routes.
They're all PGA professionals at some point, or still are. And it's just interesting to know their journey, how they got there. Hopefully it'll educate any of the youngsters out there now who are thinking about what route to take and how they want to go about it.
If you don't become a top tour player, how you can still make a living and still be around the industry?
The golf industry is massive and there's always routes, and if you're a decent golfer and you're a respected golfer, there'll always be opportunities for you, won't there?
That's it.
So we're going to do two next week. We'll do the professional route part two. We're going to be joined by Liam.
Liam Connolly, yeah.
Yeah, so he's an ex-professional golfer who's now turned back amateur.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're gonna talk his journey and what where he went in his route, and then we will
have funny stories. I used to caddy for him.
Yeah. Kev was caddy, yeah. That's probably why I never made it.
Yeah, that's exactly why I never made it.
Had you on the bag. So, and then we'll do our normal episode, and we will be really pumped for the US Open.
And thank fuck the perfect golf is over.
Perfect golf is done for now, but it will return once the statistics build for the 2021 season.
Yeah, next season, yeah.
Yeah, so once the statistics build, we will start to look at the perfect golfer, and we will take it from there. But until next week, that's all for now. Thanks.
Ciao.